All right. Welcome to the Hot Coffee Roundtable for Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jason Zwelling from Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. In the last podcast, we talked about when you're getting ready to buy a home. And we talked about touring a home and looking at neighborhoods and realizing that there's more to a home than just the home itself. The area, the schools, the neighborhood, the neighbors, the traffic pattern, all the things that actually you will encounter on a daily basis. Even off-street parking, if you have more than a vehicle or two, does the property have a driveway? Is there room? Can you park on the street? Is it alternate parking? Is it a one-way street? Those kind of things. So again, things to consider. So let's just say, for instance, that you find a home and this is the one. You're like, this is a home that I can see myself living in. This is a home that I can see myself buying. So what do I do? So a good real estate agent will take you through the home, try to show you the pluses and minuses, point out the positives, show you the negatives, and kind of empower you to make a good decision. A good agent will be able to assess the price, if it's too high, if it's priced very low, if he thinks it's going to be a multiple offer situation, to look at that listing and to kind of come up with a plan. Again, how many days on market has the house been there? Has it been there for a long period of time? Is there a cutoff date? A lot of homes in this market right now are having cutoff times saying offers will be due on set date. And again, a good agent should be able to kind of look through the online showings, see how many showings there was potentially, and kind of surmise where the offer situation might go. So you have your pre-approval. You did your wants and needs. You realized the area you wanted to live in. You had the must-haves, the things that you would like to have, and the deal breakers. You figure that out. So that was very important. So you find the home that you like, now what? So after you look at a home, you tell the agent, hey, listen, I would like to move forward with an offer. The agent says, great, let me do a little bit more research. Let me put this contract together. So an agent will go back to his office or wherever they can. They'll write up the offer. They'll pull up all the disclosures and everything that's needed to be signed, and you will meet them at their office or wherever, if it's a coffee shop, wherever they're comfortable at your home. And an agent will display all the paperwork and explain everything to you in terms and how this paperwork and how this contract is set up to most benefit you. Now, again, it's an emotional time for buyers. And some buyers fall in love with a home before they have the keys, which is a big no-no in this industry, and a good agent will tell you that. There's a chance that you'll get the home. There's a chance that you won't. And I like to tell clients, which I truthfully believe in this, if you didn't get the home, it wasn't meant to be. I believe if we've done everything, we've checked off all the boxes, we've wrote a clean contract, and we go through this process, you have a good chance to win an offer. But again, anything can happen. Again, it's not always price that dictates the winning bid. So when buying a home and you've submitted that offer, again, trying to write a clean contract that appeals to the sellers and the listing agent is often a good thing. Another thing to consider is writing a contract and actually filling out the contract correctly. I know this sounds weird for a lot of people, but contracts differ in all states. Upstate New York, downstate New York has different deals. Different counties, different municipalities have different contracts. So I've taken a lot of offers as a listing agent where I've opened up the contract and it's kind of 75% filled out. And you have the buyer's names. You don't have their address. You have a lot of blank spaces. And in a contract, you don't want blank spaces. You want everything filled out, and you want all the necessary information. You don't want to be able to have to be like, well, I wonder if they meant this. It has to be black and white, clear and concise on a contract. Again, if I'm in a multiple offer situation and I write that contract, if there's a contract that is half filled out or incorrectly filled out, or they put the wrong information in the wrong spots, a couple things come across my mind. Number one, were they lazy? Did they just not want to put the time in? Did they not believe that this was a good deal, so they weren't going to really work hard at it? Two, do they really know what they're doing? Do they understand the contract? Did they were they able to articulate to the buyers what this contract meant, what these things were? Three, I kind of look at that when an incomplete contract or incomplete disclosures, and I kind of think to myself, is this how the process is going to go if I accept their offer? Because again, it's not just price. It can be the agent. It could be the way it's presented. It could be the information. It could be the unrealistic expectations that the buyer's agent has put on there. Now, again, I'll present all offers, any and all offers. But again, if I have a multiple offer situation, I'm going to go with the agent that has all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted. I'm not going to take an offer that is half filled out, that's incorrectly filled out, unless the price is so good that I have to actually go back and it's going to benefit my sellers. So again, a buyer's agent should be able to fill the contract out, explain it to you correctly, and you should be able to present that offer with confidence to know that it's gotten to the hands of the agent. The agent's able to present that to the sellers. Because again, you can't do it in person, so you don't know for a fact sometimes if the sellers actually hear the contract, which is scary. But again, that's the way that real estate works. Now, there's ways around that too. You can also involve a broker. But again, you want to assume that there's professional acumen across both sides and that the seller's agent, the listing agent, is acting in the best interest of their sellers. Again, those are things that are important. So once that offer has presented, again, you wait for that listing agent to put together all the offers and present those offers. Now, a lot of times they'll say, yes, you've gotten the deal, or no, you haven't. Sometimes an offer is very close between two offers, and the agent says, we're going back to the two highest offers and asking you if you want to do your highest and best offer. Or this way, you go back into a negotiation situation and say to your buyers, hey, we were close. Is there any way you'd like to improve your offer? A buyer may say, well, what do you think I should do? You may be able to give them a range. We may be able to give a longer closing date. Something that was a pain point for the listing side, or something that your buyers are comfortable doing. Because again, you're not buying the house. Your buyers are. So again, telling them, well, you definitely should do this, is not a good move on the buyer's agent's part. Because again, you're not buying the house. So the buyers have to be comfortable with their decision. Explain to them the pros and the cons of each of their decisions in terms of how the market works and what you've seen in your experience lends to that. So again, once they do that, if they don't want to do something, say, okay, I will go back to them and I will tell them. You just don't know. The offers, both sides may not have improved their offer. They may have stayed status quo, and you may have still gotten the offer. So again, getting that offer accepted is the next step. So let's say, for instance, you get that offer accepted. Yay, right? Super excited. You go back to your buyers and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know that the seller side, they have accepted our offer. So this step of the stage is complete. No, you haven't bought a home yet. No, you shouldn't start ordering the moving truck. It's just one step in the process. A lot of people look at buying a home like HDTV. And as much as many agents would love to show you three homes and have you pick one, it's not really the way it works. So again, that process is done. What's next? Well, in New York State, we work with attorneys. So once both sides have signed, the buyers and the sellers, the contract now goes to an attorney of choice. And I like to tell my buyers, you want to make sure that you have a buyer's agent who suggests to you, if you don't have one, a real estate attorney. Not all attorneys are created equal. What I mean by that is, a real estate attorney understands timelines. Criminal attorneys understand law. And sometimes the criminal attorneys or other kind of attorneys that practice all things may not understand the timelines for you. So I always suggest getting a real estate attorney. I think it's a good idea for you, and I think it helps. So you send the contract over to the attorney looking for attorney approval. The attorney is going to accept the contract and look at all the things that you filled in and make sure, first of all, that you really did put this offer together. They'll call you and they'll ask you some questions. And they will basically say, we hereby approve of this contract as written, or we don't. And the last thing they'll say, maybe we don't approve of the contract as written. The following changes need to be made, and you might have to adjust the contract. But again, that's a three-day attorney approval, three business days. So not on the weekends, but business days. Again, once that goes back, depending how you're financing the home, if you're doing a cash situation, it doesn't go to a bank. If you are taking out a loan, well, now this contract goes to the bank. And your mortgage consultant, who you're going to take the loan out for, will sit down with you and you will apply for a mortgage. Now, between the time of attorney approval and applying for a mortgage, you can do a home inspection or radon test or both. Usually, after the three-day attorney approval, there is a seven-day home inspection period. And what that means is you can schedule a home inspection, you can do the home inspection, you can negotiate the home inspection and have it signed within 7 days. Sometimes listing agents will say 3 days, or they will change the timeline because they don't want to take the home off the market for any length of time. So you have to be understanding of the timelines. But usually that's 7 days. In this market recently, because it is a seller's market and there are less homes than there are buyers, there are some buyers and some buyer's agents that have put contracts together with no home inspection, no radon test. Now, myself as an agent would never tell a buyer not to have one. I explain the pros and the cons of it. You go through a house and you see absolutely nothing wrong. It doesn't mean that there isn't anything wrong with the house. It means that it looks like it's in pretty good shape. But by no means is an agent a home inspector. So it has to be a decision that comes from the buyer. You are in charge of that. So again, sure, it may improve the offer, but down the road, you may find a problem. Now, a home inspector is the type of person who does not rip out walls and knock out panels. It's basically what they can see. And the only two areas majorly that they go into is the furnace, the electrical box, and actually also the attic. So they're checking for those things and they're making sure. But those are the only areas they go behind the scenes, and everything else is visual. And they check in to make sure that the home is as sound as possible. It's not a pass or a fail. Now, there might be some things in there that really would make you shy away from the home, and that's for your protection. And again, in this time right now, with the way that contracts and multiple offers, a lot of home inspections are for basically the buyer's know-how. It's just basically for your eyes only. Because again, if you are going to take that home inspection back and ask the sellers to make set changes, a lot of times there's a multiple offer and they'll just call the next person. So it's not like you can ask for a lot of things. I'm not saying you can't. You can ask for anything you want. But the possibility of them saying no is usually higher in this market with multiple offers. So you want to make sure that you're asking for the big things. if you see something wrong with the furnace, or you see something wrong with a broken window or a leaky roof, those are what I would call low-hanging fruit. Those are the big ticket items that, again, if you don't take care of them at the time of this inspection or ask for them to be fixed, it's going to be your problem when you buy the home. And again, there are inspectors that have looked at things, and 2 weeks after closing on the home, the furnace breaks down. It happens. But again, you want someone who has a non-personal view on the home that's going to just look at the pluses and minuses. Again, that's something that's really important. So if you do a home inspection, then a radon test is an odorless, colorless gas that happens on slabs or in basements. And it can be cancer-causing. And it's measured in a thing called picocuries. If the picocuries is over 4, then you would need what's called radon remediation. Not all areas have radon. One house could have one, the next door house might not. So it's a hit and miss type thing. What happens if you have radon? You get the radon remediation. There's a pipe that's installed with a fan that blows the gases out, which rectifies the situation. Again, do you have to get that done? No, but the thing is, it's also something for your protection. So we see that happen. So if you get that done, you do the home inspection, you do the radon test, you've negotiated all the things that need to be done, and you sign off on a property condition notice and addendum. Now you go into that application stage with a mortgage professional. So in the next podcast, we'll talk about applying for that mortgage, what that kind of looks like, and where you should go in those next steps. I'm Jason Zwelling with Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. Thanks for listening.